Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
So today's message is March 20th, and the topic is, I'll rest when I'm dead. And today's speaker, why that's me, in the case here we haven't met, my name is Edward, and you can write that down right there. I love doing that. And so this topic, I'll rest when I'm dead, it's a phrase that is sometimes used to glorify being overworked, you know, to celebrate being exhausted. Isn't that wonderful? It's like saying, you know, there's no time to rest if you want to get ahead. So the first question I invite you to write down is, how do you feel about today's topic? How do I feel about today's topic? And maybe you can come up with a more heart-centered way of expressing the idea about rest and time, you know, and then leave a little space there because I've got some more questions for you to write down. Then halfway down the page, the second question to write down is, what happens to me when I don't rest? Rest, because I'm exploring that right now. I'm very interested in that. You know, I'm exploring how being unrested and worried and busy can rob me of my joy. So leave some space so you can make notes for yourself, you know. Like Sky says, we've all got a lot to say about everything. Yeah. Third question, what does rest mean to me? Because, you know, rest means different things to different people, right? You know, I guess it's whatever restores you or renews you or reinvigorates you. And getting clear on the answer to that is going to help you with this part on the bottom right-hand page, my intentions for this coming week. You know, how do you plan to bring this topic into your life? How do you plan to bring rest into your life this week? And we're going to get to that later. So we'll get right on to that later. But now you got the questions, all right? This, I'll rest when I'm dead. Well, it says a lot about our culture in which the idea is that rest is an expensive luxury that you don't deserve, rather than a necessity of being alive and vibrant, you know, because our culture seems to be obsessed, constantly in a hurry to catch up and to get ahead, and the focus is on hurry up, make money, hurry up and get famous, become a social media influencer, hurry up with this or that all the time. So there's no time to rest, no time to rest and think about the really urgent issues of our world. No time to feel the really painful things in our world. Climate wellness, gender equity, global poverty, global hunger and malnutrition, human rights. No time for that. The second question on your list, what happens to me when I don't rest? Well, I've been looking at that since I got the question clear. When I'm going, well, I just use up all of my resources until I get to the place when I don't have any time. You know that place? And then I don't tune in to the wisdom of my body, mind, spirit, my whole system, because I don't have time. And then I don't benefit from those slow, warm conversations with friends. I don't have time. I don't seek out the inspiration of nature and all of its patterns and clues and cues, and I don't look for the kind-heartedness in the world. I don't have time. And then when I don't have time, what happens to me is I get impatient. And when I'm impatient, it's so easy to be grumpy. Ironically, grumpiness never makes things go faster. It makes things harder to get done. Have you noticed? It causes resistance and pushback, you know, around me. I mean, just about nobody enjoys being around Grumpy Edward. Why are you laughing down there? You laugh like you know me. Reminds me of a piece of reading I read in a meditation book, and I kept it because it's so meaningful. I don't even know where it comes from anymore. There is a close connection between speed and impatience. Impatience is simply being in a hurry. Our culture has become so speeded up today that no one has time to be patient. People in a hurry cannot be patient. So people in a hurry cannot love. To love, we need to be sensitive to those around us, which is impossible if we're racing through life engrossed in all the things we need to do before the end of the day. You can probably imagine why I kept that piece. But hey, sometimes life is legitimately full and busy with a lot of important things to do, to handle. I get that. I'm not afraid of working hard, not at all, not that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about crossing the line to where it's no longer humane and I'm using up my resources and I'm running on empty and I'm running on empty fast. That's what I'm talking about. And you know, if the pace of my life cannot be slowed down immediately because there's important things to do, maybe I can try to slow down my mind instead. Interestingly, whenever I practice slowing down my mind, that's when I begin to notice that the speed of my life is closely connected to the speed of my mind. It turns out my mind is still a place where I have agency and choice and direction and creative power. Still, after all these years. I was talking to a colleague, another minister of a Center for Spiritual Living who has a member from Ukraine. And the member talked to him and said, I'm having a lot of difficulty. My mind is racing. I'm afraid. I'm angry. I'm panicked. Frankly, I'm having a very hard time. And my colleague said to her, look, I don't know what you're going through. I don't have the experience of a military force invading my country. But I do know what it's like to have my mind invaded. So I offer this idea to you. Don't let Mr. Putin invade your mind and destroy your sovereignty there. Because you need that space to be sacred and clear. And she took his words to heart and did just that. She moved back into her own mind space and slowed it down to the speed of peace. And in that peace that she created there, she turned to the question, what is mine to do? And that's when the answer came from her quiet mind. It turns out it couldn't quite come through her when her mind was frantic. And she knew what she had to do. Now she's in Poland, renting a huge home and taking in elderly refugees who may not have access to some of the humanitarian services there. And do you know that the first person to come across the border was her own mother? Well, perhaps you know what it's like to have your mind stolen by thoughts. Your own thoughts. I remember a time when my car was stolen at the airport. You know, flew into Oakland and my car was gone. I felt so helpless and frustrated and angry and disoriented. And I'm remembering that feeling of being taken over. You know, it's the same feeling I get when my life gets taken over by fast-paced, aggressive thinking, sometimes my own. Because it's like somebody's taken my car and is driving it around. Somebody's taken my life and is driving it around, and possibly in a reckless way, ruining the interior, driving me to places and activities I should not be in. I heard a helpful metaphor about this. You know, I mean, think of driving a car and imagine that your body is the car, it's the vehicle, and your mind is the engine, and you are the driver. Now, imagine that you know how to drive. You know how to slow down the vehicle. You even know how to park it when necessary. You know how to turn the engine off. You know how to store the key safely in your pocket, but you don't do that. Instead of doing all that, you leave your mind idling on the street with the key still in the ignition, the gas being wasted, the air being polluted, and the scary possibility that at any moment an opportunistic thought can take control. You know, when I read that, I thought to myself, I must learn how to turn the engine off. I got to do that. I got to park the car and get that still mind. Try turn your mind off. So I prefer to say, I'm slowing my mind down. I talk like that now. Because making the mind stop, I would say, is impossible. It just does what it does. And sometimes I use the phrase, I'm practicing being forgetful, forgetting myself. Because I'm talking about those moments. And likely you've had one or two of them yourself, you know, when you forget yourself. Or when the movement of time seems to slow down. And these moments can happen spontaneously when we're doing things that we love doing, and we get all wrapped up in the details of doing them. And typically in moments like this, I feel, I was going to say happy, but it's not really accurate. I feel satisfied, maybe that's not the word, peaceful, at rest. It's the sensation as if some part of me has come to a temporary pause, a stop, while everything else keeps going. Now, the point of slowing down the mind is not to escape and disconnect from the world. To me, it's rather about creating a restful space in which deepness can speak and fresh, creative solutions can present themselves. And slowing the mind down is one of those things that cannot be experienced by reading about it. It has to be given a chance to prove itself. And the nice thing is that anybody can practice slowing down their mind. It doesn't take special education and can be done anywhere. And it doesn't really, you know, if your mind is already fast, you might say, I don't have the time to slow down. Slowing the mind doesn't take time. It creates time. It makes spaciousness. And it's the sort of thing that gets better and easier each time we practice, and we will practice it today, later on. But before we practice, I want to talk about question number three. What does rest mean to me? Now, if you're like me, you're likely to benefit from taking a break, even from things that you love. I've got a little bit of a obsessive personality. When I like something, I like it a lot. All right? Like my cell phone. You know, it's become an essential part of how I fulfill my job responsibility and how I entertain myself and how I connect meaningfully across the globe and how I stay informed about important world issues and how I educate myself and how I pay my bills and how, well, the staff and I, we all stay connected, the video team during the service. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of connectivity in my hand. Recently, I left it at home by accident when I was on the way to the supermarket, and that's when I noticed a little stress. will I be okay? Seriously. Is it okay to be out in the world without a phone? Is it safe? Things could happen. It felt very much like the stress that I felt when I was giving up sugar all those years ago. Because I had become so dependent on sugar. My body would flood me with messages, you know. If you could just have some, you'd feel better. Which it turns out is opposite to the truth. It was the dependency speaking through my body, giving me unhealthy messages. I had to learn to notice that. And I felt the same way without my phone. I won't be safe without it. I had to examine that, all the things that were coming up. And I sensed that there was something inaccurate about the message. You know, I would tell myself, I just want the phone to be nearby. But in reality, I didn't want it just to be nearby. I wanted it on. I mean, I could turn the phone off completely and keep it somewhere accessible. I could put it in my bag. No, because the addiction is to constant contact. Immediate, instant access to people. Stimulation ongoing. Information all the time. In fact, more of all of that than I am capable of consuming. More of all of that than what is good for me. So I've been taking a rest from my phone. Now and then, powering it down completely. The first hour was difficult, but now I'm enjoying it. I'm getting used to it. Because now I can notice and observe what happens to my whole system when I'm not on high alert all the time. That takes us to the second page, your intentions for this week. You might ask yourself, what in my life can I put on pause this week? What in my life can I take a mini break from? You might already have a right relationship with your phone. I don't know. But look in your life for the place where there's room to take a little step back and breathe. Now for the practice together. When I do my morning 6 a.m. devotional online, before I go online, early in the morning, I sit quietly right there in front of the camera and I tune into my physical form, my body. This is a practice that you and I can do anywhere, anytime. I just tune in as if I'm listening to it or watching it or feeling it. And when I do that, over time, I get better at it. I hear more clearly, and I can feel the difference between those self-defeating messages like, reach for the phone, you can rest later, eat that dessert, the extra one, take it, have another cup of coffee. If you want to get ahead, there's no time to rest. I can spot them now, and I can tell the difference between those and the self-healing, nourishing messages such as take a nap, go for a walk today, stretch your limbs today, drink more water today, do something for someone else today, make someone's day today, give something to your world today, make something. Create something. Write a letter to government leadership today and express yourself. Listen to someone. Share. But I can't hear the voices if I don't make the space. So the practice of tuning into my physical form is a type of meditation. It's often called a body scan. It's as simple as scanning your body. And there are dozens and dozens of recorded guides online, even audio ones, that you can find and tune into. And this one is adapted from onemindharma.com. And what you can do is you can use this later on. You can go and get to our website, go to the video, fast forward to the meditation, and practice it every day if you like. as an audio guide. It goes like this. Begin to adjust yourself so that you're comfortable. And if you are at home and you're doing this later, it's even good to lie down just as long as you remain awake. If you are comfortable letting your eyes close, begin to let that happen gently. And then let your attention come to your posture. It is helpful to keep the spine straight and energized, even if you're laying on the floor, while at the same time relaxing everything else around the skeleton. And you can use your breath to help in this process. Imagine as you breathe in that you're breathing in energy and awareness going straight to your spine. And as you exhale, it's an act of relaxation. And invite your shoulders to relax and drop. And the same with your jaw. And soften your belly. And let your attention come to the top of your head. And tune in to whatever is present for you. And by that I mean acknowledge any thoughts, any emotions, any feelings that are present. There is no right or wrong way to experience this. Just notice what is present. And begin to let your attention move down to your forehead, again tuning into whatever is present. You may notice the temperature of the air. You may notice that there's still some slight scrunching of your brow, or that it's completely relaxed. Whatever it is, just be present to it. Notice it. And keep letting your attention move down near the eyes and cheekbones. Even with eyes closed, you may notice some movement in the eye. Just notice. And in this way of noticing, continue down the tip of your nose and your upper lip. And in that spot, you might feel your body breathing gently and naturally. You might even notice the difference between the air going in and the air coming out. And as you continue to let your awareness move down through your mouth area and sense your lips and jaw, you might notice how the tongue is being, resting or tense or whatever it is. Noticing and becoming aware of any thought or feeling or emotion. And as you continue to let your awareness go down through the neck, always noticing, always remembering there is nothing you should be experiencing. There is no right or wrong, only awareness. And if thought begins to analyze what's going on, notice that too. And gently return your awareness to the physical body, moving down to the tops of the shoulder and perhaps sensing the feeling of clothing on the body touching the skin. And dropping even further down to the upper arms and elbows, tuning in to whatever is directly present in your body experience. And as you continue down into the forearms and wrists, perhaps you notice any points of contact. Maybe your arms are resting somewhere. And you just notice, how does that feel? And as you continue down, you let your awareness rest in the whole abdomen and stomach region, and you may notice sensations of the body breathing. And let your awareness be with the body, giving kind-hearted attention to whatever arises. And letting awareness travel further down, you might feel the point of contact where your body meets the chair, or whatever it is you're resting on. And notice the sensations of resting on whatever you're resting on. Noticing the points of contact. Noticing tension, if there is any. And let your awareness drop further down into the whole leg region, calves, shins, ankles. Just with curiosity. What is present for me? And let whatever is present be there while you keep breathing and keep returning to kind-hearted attention. And then let your awareness move to your feet, wherever they are. And take a moment here to tune into and take in the entire body system from head to toe. You might feel again the whole breath moving, nourishing the entire body. You might even get a sense of the entire outline or the posture of the body as it rests here where it is. And then silently in your awareness, you might say, "Thank you" to your body, and "I love you."